Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is musician and singer-songwriter Tenzin Chopak. Chopak studied voice, guitar, and piano in his youth. In the mid-1990s, he began to seriously study the Tibetan language and religion and took on the name Tenzin Chopak during the stay in India. For 12 years, he continued his studies and left music behind. In late 2011, he began to write and perform again and formed the ensemble Rockwood Fairy. They recorded several highly regarded CDs. Chopak now performs and records as a solo artist, and his second CD, Alone in the House, was released in March of this year. And welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, you're originally from Tennessee, and you say your father was a minister, and you got introduced to music in his church. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, my father is a Presbyterian minister, and both of my parents are from Indiana. And when I was two, he got a job in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and so we went down there. And both of my parents are musicians. My dad played French horn and is a singer, and my mother sang and played violin. And so in the church, when you're the son of a preacher, you kind of are there all the time.
Yeah.
And do all that stuff, all the choir and things like that.
Did they have to encourage you to take up instruments and music, or was that something that you naturally felt like doing?
I just did it. My brother, who's 6 years older than me, he also was just doing music all the time, so I probably was just copying him.
So you studied voice and guitar and piano as a youth, and you thought it was going to be a profession. But what happened? At some point, you sort of gave it up for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I was playing piano, and you know, I sang, and I did theater, and I did a little bit of dance. And I was in orchestra. I played cello and upright bass in orchestra. And then I was in bands and stuff, you know. And so I thought that I was going to only do that. I was just doing that and making art, too, visual art at the same time. And then I came into contact with Buddhism, and then I started to study Tibetan Buddhism, and I met some good teachers, and I just got more and more involved with that and less focused on music. And
Well, what was it that so attracted you to the Tibetan language and culture and so on? Was it something missing in your own life? It seems to me a son of a preacher would have been brought up in a particular religion.
Yeah.
It sounds like you segued away from that.
Yeah, well, you know, also, even though I was around, you know, I was deep in doing things with the church growing up, and I was around a different kind of degrees of conservatism with Christianity, you know. But my parents, very, very liberal and very open-minded, and they never had any kind of tightening around that for me. It was always, I was always encouraged to just see what I thought for myself and to
find your own path,
look at other things if I wanted. They never got in the way of that, never.
Wow,
and so,
that's great.
And so I think that as I went forward, I kind of just gravitated towards Buddhism. I had looked at a bunch of other things too, but there was something about that was just well-suited to me personally. And then I think they were just happy that I had something that would be healthy for my mind. And so it must have been something that was lacking in me, or something that I felt was lacking. I'm sure that's true.
Yeah, because you hear about a lot of people getting into Buddhism and other religions, but they don't devote years and years like you did. And tell us the significance of the name change.
When I decided I was fully committed to studying Buddhism and Tibetan Buddhism in particular, because that's the teachers that I met and that I decided were solid teachers, were in the Tibetan tradition. And then after a while, I decided that I'd like to possibly become a monk. So I asked their permission if I could go to India and request to be ordained as a monastic in the Tibetan tradition. So I did that. They said that would be fine, and so I arranged to go to India, and I lived there. And when I requested this ordination, and then I did some preparation for that, and then when I was ordained, then I was given this name,
wow.
Tenzin Chopak. So you know, it was kind of a big change for me. So that name took over. You know, it became
And so eventually, you made your way back to music after all of this study and settling into this. Well, why did you embark on a solo career after forming Rockwood Fairy?
Well, first of all, I didn't stay a monk. I eventually went back to being a layperson. And when I started playing music again and I formed Rockwood Fairy, it was all music I wrote. Mm-hmm. And then I would have the ensemble. We would kind of translate that through the ensemble. Originally, I came up with this name Rockwood Fairy, which was significant to me personally, a place that near where I grew up, there's a road called Rockwood Fairy Road, and it goes down to Watts Bar Lake, which is a dammed section of the Tennessee River. But anyway, I spent some time down there when I was a kid. So anyway, that was a meaningful name to me. But the reason I picked the name was because I thought if I just called myself Tenzin Chopak, it would freak people out.
Ah.
And then I would have to do all this explaining. Why do you have the name Tenzin Chopak? You know, just like I'm explaining now. And so I decided I would go with that name. And then I did 3 albums under the name Rockwood Fairy with various forms of the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back over to going under the name Tenzin Chopak because I realized that I was the one who always shows up to the gigs, and I would have different people with me depending on the project. But sometimes people would say, well, what happened to Rockwood Fairy? What's this? And I'd say, well, this is also, I'm Rockwood Fairy.
Yeah, know? That makes
and
sense.
And they would always ask the question, well, where's the, what happened? Or is, oh, and then they'd play, they'd say, oh, that's nice too. And, you know, it'd be fine. But I had to explain it a lot. And then also I travel and play solo a lot. So I had 2 different things to grapple with there. And so finally I just decided I'm just going to go as Tenzin Chopak. And it made it all so simple.
Yeah. Oh, it's much simpler than you probably thought. I want to play an excerpt from the new CD called Alone in the House, and I want to play the title track. Can you tell us just a tiny bit about it before we listen?
Sure. The title track is called Alone in the House, and it's about me being alone in my house, and my wife Karen, she travels away and for work, and sometimes I'm there by myself. And the house, she has such a beautiful way of making a house, and it's everything is just wonderful to look at in there. And so being inside of the house while she's away is like being inside of an echo of her presence, you know. And so it's just a song about going through a day alone.
Let's listen to it. I was telling you before we started the interview that your phrasing is so different than some people's. It's almost like you don't have periods at the end of your sentences and you speak several lines without pausing. It's really interesting to me. I guess it's not deliberate.
I don't know. I guess I wrote it on purpose, but mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking in particular about that as a technique. And I arrange lyrics in a few different ways, I would imagine, but I don't really think very, it's not so much thinking, I just kind of, that's how they occur to me, I guess.
Yeah, it's very intimate. It feels like you're really speaking your thoughts to someone. It's really interesting to me.
Oh.
Well, tell us a little bit more about this CD, because you recorded all the songs on one microphone in one day, which to me sounds like a day in the life of a voice. Why would you do it that way?
Well, the album that I put out before that in November, we recorded in 3 days. That was with the ensemble, and that's a very nice way to do it. But I also really like recordings of other people that I've heard where it was recorded kind of in a hurry, or there wasn't a big production. Like, it's just very vulnerable.
Organic.
Yeah, organic and vulnerable. There's a few recordings out there that are like that. Chris Whitley's Dirt Floor is like that. That was recorded in a day with one mic. And I really like it. So I decided I'd do it. Although, when you decide you're going to do that, I think sometimes you find out that you're just naked out there, you know, there's no forgiveness, you know, you just sing the songs and then it's over. And so I had to kind of accept the truth of what I recorded, you know, and just deal with it.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Tenzin Chopak. He's a singer-songwriter and performer, and he has a new CD called Alone in the House, which we are discussing today. I want to play another excerpt from Alone in the House. This one's called Delirium. Tell us a little bit about this. This one's quite a bit different.
Yeah, Delirium is kind of it has an outer meaning and an inner meaning, I guess. It has a lot to do with our American culture now and how we are dealing with pain and how we're processing other people's pain, how we're further away from a connection with those around us, and how we are kind of numbing ourselves. It does make some references to opiate addiction and also uses that as a metaphor for all forms of our addiction, whether it's addiction to media or screens or all of that. So,
yeah, let's listen to it. Delirium.
Open your eyes in a flood of darkness and dopamine. The toxic womb of your virtual chains. Dreaming of a revolution from your opium den. Down in a hole, hallucinations of glory. Toxic womb of your virtual trance, dreaming of a revolution from your opium den. Down in a hole, hallucinations of glory. Hallelujah, depersonalize. Laugh aloud, you're okay. Just say this with your mouth and drink this.
I wanted to bring up the fact that you dedicated the CD to all who meet grief, fear, and hatred with the unwavering dignity of empathy and joy. To tell us about that philosophy. We sure need more of that in this culture right now.
Yeah, a friend of mine posted that she was trying to feel less empathy because I think she wanted to be more ferocious, you know, which I can understand that too.
It was because people are afraid, right?
Yeah, very afraid, and for good reasons, I think. And so I can understand that. But when I'm talking about empathy, my personal feeling about it is that empathy imbued with some kind of wisdom, you know, seeing things as they are, seeing reality as it is, that also informs you in how you're going to move through life with some kind of skill, right? Which is very difficult. So when I talk about, you know, dedicating this CD to everybody who's willing to approach this world and this life with their heart, you know, and their courage and their reasoning, their wisdom, it's because, you know, of this world we're living in right now is very frightening for so many people. So that's what I was thinking, in that dedication.
Yeah, and you know what, this new CD, since you did, made yourself vulnerable in many ways, like you said, by recording it all in one day, that's what people are afraid to do. And so you're making a point with this entire project, it seems to me. Opening your heart, you know what I mean?
Yes, and you get to hear me sing sharp or flat, you know.
But I liked it. It felt like it was live, you know, it felt like it was real.
It is real.
Yeah, and I didn't realize till after I'd listened to it that what the notes were, that you had recorded this thing in one day on one mic.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. To tell us how your Tibetan practice and in the influence of the culture and your studies has affected your music.
I'm not exactly sure how to describe that. You know, I think anybody who's immersing themselves in some kind of, I don't know what to call it, I guess a path or something, whether that's art or
some kind of devotion,
some
or
kind,
practice.
It ends up affecting everything. And I don't want to come across here like I'm some kind of expert or anything, because clearly I haven't lived up to those ideals. But I do have great respect for that practice. And so over the years, I feel like it's completely suffused my view of the world, you know, and so it must be affecting everything in music.
Well, it's probably become so much a part of you that you don't remember who or what you were without it in some ways. You know, like learning how to talk, it's second nature perhaps.
Well, I do remember what it was like before, and I had a rather hard time before, but it's been a while now since I've been practicing that stuff, and now it feels like part of me.
I want to play another excerpt from Alone in the House. This one is called What Time It Is. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that one is... the first lines, no bars in the cage, no solution, the house dreams itself in seamless confusion. Well, What Time It Is has some significance for me with our current, you know, situation and our culture again. And we are experiencing kind of a intense anxiety and a breakdown of communication between people. Everybody seems to be shouting, and nobody seems to be changing anybody else's mind anytime soon. And this song has to do with everything coming to a boil and pointing at how this situation is just dreaming itself. And the more and more tension that rises, the more it perpetuates.
Well, let's listen to it. What time it is.
No bars in the cage, no solution. The house dreams itself in seamless confusion. You're kicking down doors through infinite rooms, screaming your face off. Where does it end? It is hard to tell a rope from a snake in a panic by dim light with so much at stake. It is easy for the weapons you hold to be governed by the impulse of that fear you were so. Crowded with preachers, all writhing in rage. Standing ovation from the trembling choir, speaking in tongues wrapped in ribbons of fire. Thank you. took off the serpents to see tornadoes. Touched down without mercy, blown to smithereens, and you people all became gears in a machine. I know the mirror where you gaze at your face, mouthing the meaning and running into place. Invisible friends all shouting your name. The cruel wind is coming. It's not a game.
Yeah, your music, I know you left music for quite a few years, but your music is very immersed in the current situation that we find ourselves in. It almost seems like a political CD to me, in a gentle kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think music can change people's lives?
I think it changed my life. I can say that.
Yeah.
So if it changed my life, then probably it changes other people's lives. I also saw somebody the other day said... they said that they were losing faith that music could cause social change. But I never had the big idea like it was going to cause some kind of social change. I don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
I just make the music. I love other people's music. When I listen to other people's music, it affects me personally. I think it probably makes me more likely to respond with a feeling of kindness to other people who are suffering,
mm-hmm.
and respond with a feeling of courage and kind of ferocity against situations that are unjust. So it's changing me, I think, over time. But when I make music, I'm happy and I feel fulfilled in doing it, but I don't have a big idea that some music I'm making can do some big change like that for the whole world. But I thought maybe it's kind of like, you know, what's the significance of a raindrop to a garden? It's not so much, but, you know, rain for a garden is a good thing.
Yeah, it's cumulative.
Cumulative.
Yeah, exactly. And I think songs and art and creativity can change people. Let's play one final excerpt from Alone in the House. This one's called For Joy. I'd like to end with that. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. To tell us a tiny bit about it.
For Joy, I wrote specifically for the concert in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King up at Ithaca College that happened this year. My friend Nicholas Walker and Beverly Stokes and I performed that song up there, and I wrote it for that occasion. When I wrote it, I also knew that I was going to keep playing it and that it wasn't, you know, I wrote it specifically for that, but I would keep playing it.
Yeah, let's listen to an excerpt from it, For Joy.
Awake, awake from this fitful sleep. Arise, arise, and do not delay. Promises once kept for you are now yours to keep for the coming day. Let there be a home in your heart for joy. Let there be a home in your heart. Clear now as the cloudless dawn, aware now beyond hope or fear. Perilous is the dark tumult gathered round the cries that beg you to hear.
That really is a lovely song, Tenzin. I really like it. You can almost tell that it was written as a tribute to something, you know. I want to ask you this, too. I know you left music behind for a number of years to study. Do you think you'd go back on retreat again and leave music again, or are you going to be with us now?
Yeah, hard to say. I seem to just be doing music all the time. When I was busy studying Tibetan language and was focused on, I thought that I was just going to be doing that, but it turned out that I bought a banjo and then I started playing music and then it kind of took over. So who knows what's going to happen, but it really seems like I'm just making music all the time. I really enjoy doing it.
Uh-huh. And how do you write? When you're wandering around the world, do you take notes or do you come running into your house going, oh, I have an idea and I don't want it to be lost? like so many writers tell me, I have to write it down before I lose it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Music is kind of like a constant feeling. So everything feels kind of like music to me. So it's always happening. I'm always usually hearing it in my imagination. Uh-huh. I almost always have like some paper or something with me. And so, I don't know, I have an unending mountain of piles of paper with things written on them that I might never look at again. Uh-huh. And then on my phone, I have a zillion melodies. That,
really?
Like, you know, I mean, I just, they're not great. I mean, I'm not saying they're good or anything, but, you know, I just kind of, I don't really have a set-aside time or anything. It's just kind of always happening.
It's constantly there. Are you a fan of poetry? Are you somebody who reads poetry and other writing to get inspired just in your life?
I like to read books. I would really like to read some poetry. I need somebody to make some suggestions. Mm. I would like some suggestions of what to read.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because a lot of your lyrics are very poetic. So it seems like you must... I was thinking you had influence of a poet or two. We are almost out of time. Are you going to be doing any performances this summer that people might be able to see you?
This summer?
This summer, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be at Grassroots, the festival in Trumansburg, with a group with me there. And then I'll be just under the name Tenzin Chopak. I believe in this area... I'll be at the downtown Ithaca Summer
Concert Series
in August, I believe. Yeah, and you can just check out my website.
Yeah, I was just going to say, give people your website address.
Oh, yeah, so that's just TenzinChopak.com.
Well, Tenzin Chopak, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure to be introduced to your solo music. I absolutely love it. Again, his new CD is called Alone in the House. Go and get it and check it out. Thank you, Tenzin.
Thanks, Tish.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.